Welcome back, folks. Mountain West Wire podcast, officially week one of the college football season. We already have three games in the books, but we have a full slate this weekend. As always, you know who's here. I'm Jeremy Moss, Matt Kennerly out there in California. You ready? You finally ready for a full weekend of 12 games?
Let's do this.
It's a lot. It's I'll watch more than 12. Well, we'll see, but I'm excited. There's a lot of good games this weekend. Well, maybe we'll pump the brakes on that, but half the slate is pretty good.
Well, even some of the FCS games have a little bit of intrigue. We'll get to all of them, rest assured. But, you know, there's something I think to look forward to for every fan base this weekend.
It's week one. You have to. People already played. But, yes, this is – the season is here. We don't have just a couple games throughout the weekend. We have Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, Labor Day weekend, the long weekend of games. You got Monday Night Football. You got Alabama, Florida State for some non-conference action. When you're not watching, say, Nevada, Northwestern, or we got Hawaii late night playing Western Carolina, midnight Eastern on the app. You can view it on the mainland, folks.
Yes.
Finally. So before we get going, we have some breaking news here. We're going to discuss
esports.
Just real quick. Boise State has now joined a list of major universities to approve a varsity esports program. So, for those who don't know, which I don't really know, I know a little bit about it. Do you want to guess? I bet you can name this offhand. Do you know the five games they're going to offer
I saw the headline a few minutes ago.
The ones I remember
off the top of my head are League of Legends, which I know nothing about.
Yes.
Rocket League, which is easy to learn, difficult to master, and super fun.
Exactly. That's a great way
Overwatch,
to describe it.
Which I am totally all about. And then I forget the other two.
Hearthstone?
Overrated, but that's
sure. And Heroes
which
of the
Storm.
Which
I know nothing about.
I know Rocket League because I got it recently. I'm attempting Overwatch, still much a novice, so don't try to find me to play me online, but I'm getting there. But there you go. Why not? If you can get money to go to school to play video games, why not, right? And one thing I did notice, an interesting tweet. Some college, I think he's like Eastern Iowa, basically calling people a bunch of wussies because there's esports is now. He doesn't know what he's talking about because he says they dropped wrestling for esports. Technically you have that varsity code name with it. It's not really a Title IX sport or a varsity sport as in adding, like Boise State's probably going to add baseball. It's not like that. It's just a scholarship. It is an e-sport, but activity similar to, I would assume if you're like on the choir or drama, like you're part of the team that or the group that performs plays or the marching band or something like that. That's more attuned to what esports is compared to
athletic sports. I was a little bit lukewarm at first when it was starting to emerge, but I've kind of come around on it a little bit. Like when we were in Vegas last month for our USA Today conference, getting this site set up, you know, the very next day was a 3-day fighting tournament that's been around for well over a decade. And, you know, that's just one kind of arena. You have all these different kinds of games now, which, you know, is a sport in the sense that they require a different kind of skill set. It's, you know, I consider it a little more like chess or, you know, something that's a little more mentally driven or reaction driven than a lot of other games. So it's not a sport in the traditional sense where it relies a lot on physicality.
It's like golf. You're telling me this is like golf.
It's better than golf. It's way better than golf. Let's not go there.
Well, you said limited, like the activity part. I'm like, yeah, golf's sort of a sport. You're outside.
Yeah.
But it's interesting news. It's so maybe we'll have an esports beat eventually.
Yeah, if you know what, if you were a Boise State fan or if you are a Boise State person who happens to be a part of their esports team eventually, definitely contact us at MWCWire on Twitter.
Definitely, it gives a shout out, man. We'll chat you up. And one thing that would note, which is pretty cool on this, like it says here in the ESPN article, the NCAA does not have oversight However, the, like, organizations are exploring how competitive gaming impacts NCAA, which means, because people who play video games, like my little kid, he's too little to do this, but he'll watch YouTube. He'll watch, if people know who Dan TDM is, he watches all those videos all the time, people playing games, and people have Twitch accounts. You can get money. You can do, this is still in play if you're a esports attendee. What do you want to call it? Gamer? I don't know. But you can still make money doing this, so it's more like if you're a, like, what, who was it? Jeremy Bloom did for the Buffalo. So you got money for skiing on the Olympics, but yeah, played college exactly. football for Colorado. You could still make money, which is what you want to see, right? Exactly. Should we get to the football game, I guess, here? Football games, plural. All right, now let's move on to Saturday's game. We have to wake up early Saturday. This game is getting a lot of pub because it's Wyoming at Iowa, Big Ten Network. That's 12 Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, so 6 Hawaii. So get your breakfast food ready for this one. Iowa's favored by 11.5 points. I'm not sure what to make of this matchup because I'm not extremely high in Wyoming at the moment.
I wasn't either, but as weeks have gone by and I've had time to think about my predictions for the season, which, you know, for anybody who's wondering, no, I haven't changed them at all because I don't do that. I'm starting to wonder whether I'm underrating Wyoming a little bit again. I don't know if I'm underrating them as much as I did last year. But, I mean, they're going up against an Iowa team that doesn't really inspire any kind of fear. You know what I mean? Like, they have to replace their quarterback, C.J. Beathard, and they've got a sophomore coming in Nathan Stanley, who's, you know, from my understanding, pretty good. But, you know, they also have to replace their top playmaker last year in George Kittle with another sophomore, Noah Fant. And I'm just not seeing, you know, where this Iowa team is going to score a lot of points against a defense that I'm starting to, that, you know, if I'm underestimating anything, I feel like I was underestimating them in the offseason. Because I feel like this Wyoming defense is going to surprise a lot of people this year.
Hey, we're on the same page. I was doing Q&As and stuff for some Iowa folks earlier today. And while I know Wyoming's defense wasn't great last year, a lot of yards given up on the ground, a lot of points. They were young. Like 2 years ago, they were very young. Last year, they were still young. They had Logan Wilson, freshman of the year last year for the conference. Andrew Wingard, defensive preseason player of the year. Carl Granderson's back there. They can make plays. Yes, they give up too many points. 69 to UNLV, 30-something to San Diego State one of the times, not very good. A lot of points in New Mexico, and that was it 50-something points in New Mexico. So I think they'll get that better. But I said, I honestly think this. I think the defense will be better than the offense than for Wyoming this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, if the defense is going to have to focus on one thing in this game, you know, I'm not expecting Iowa to blow anybody away with the passing game, but they're going to get a challenge from this running game because the guy, you know, their lead runner coming back, Akram Wadley, had over 1,000 yards last year and he averaged over 6 yards a carry. And, you know, the guy behind him, Torin Young, he's only a freshman, but he's very highly regarded and he's kind of a big bruising guy at 5'11 and 220.
You're forgetting somebody.
James Butler.
Okay, making sure. I know that happened a while back, but they got Butler, 1,000-yard rusher last year from Nevada.
Interestingly, though, he's not listed on the 2-deep.
I thought he was. I thought I looked at it earlier today.
Unless I'm looking at the wrong kind of depth chart. If I am, then disregard.
I would say this. On collegepressbox.com, which I use, password protected, so you can't just go there. In the Mountain West section, the depth charts were not accurate on certain teams. I was doing research earlier today. So there's a potential you're looking at the wrong one, or that they listed it incorrectly.
Anyway. You know, okay, so even with Butler, they're going to get a challenge from a running game that's probably going to be pretty stacked.
And the Wyoming rushing attack is weird because, do you recall, I looked this earlier, so I know, I want you to guess. Do you know what the average yards per rushing play given up when Wyoming took on New Mexico? Do you know what that number is at all?
Oh, last year I know it was a lot.
12 yards per rushing attempt.
That's a lot.
However, yes, it's a lot. That's ridiculously a lot, 12.35. However, when they played Air Force, they only gave up 3.8 yards per rushing attempt. It was all over the board. Like, they held San Diego State to respectable 4.5 the second time. But then when they played BYU, had Jamal Williams 6 yards per play, but then 2 yards or 3 yards, like Colorado State only gave up or only gained 3 yards per play, 3.3. So there's potential to see what this rushing defense can do because they have stopped good attacks. But I would compare this attack to San Diego State with the depth and strength they have for Iowa. And looking around what Iowa wants to do, they're looking at certain things where they want to put in maybe at least two, maybe even three running backs on the field at one time.
Interesting.
We know Kirk Ferentz isn't the most unique offensive guy, even though he did try to bring the jet sweep a couple years ago. But this offense isn't going to be anything fancy for
Iowa.
Yes,
that would be correct.
And do you think this 11.5 point spread is too much for Iowa?
I mean, I think it's probably just right because on the flip side, you know, I think the biggest question for Wyoming coming into this game is that we know they want to be balanced. They don't want to put everything on Josh Allen's shoulders, but this Iowa front seven is stacked, especially at linebacker, where they've got multi-year starters at, I believe, all three positions. And, you know, and a guy in the middle and some, you know, Josie Jewell, who's probably going to be all over the field. So, you know, my biggest question is, you know, they don't have a Brian Hill this year, but they do have three guys, I think, who in limited action have shown a lot of promise. But they're going to need, you know, Milo Hall, Nico Evans, and Kellen Overstreet to contribute, probably in the same kind of way that we saw Colorado State run their committee last week. You're not going to see a guy getting 20 carries per game this year, I don't think. But you're going to need to find, you know, someone who can maybe give you a hot hand for a time or, at a minimum, help you average right around 5 yards carry if you want to beat this defense.
I'm skeptical because they played well in what they played in, those guys and the carries, but it wasn't very much. As looking through, yes, they have C.J. Johnson. He was their fourth leading receiver last year. They lose Tanner Gentry, who's on the verge of making the Bears. They lose Mulhart, their tight end. They've lost a lot of guys. I don't know who Josh Allen's going to throw the ball to. Yeah, all the hype in the world, big arm, huge everything, NFL draft, number one pick, potentially first rounder next year. I just don't know who's he going to get the ball to. And then secondly, with all these newer receivers, is there going to be a repeat of fourth quarter Nebraska last year where Wyoming was down 7 points going into the final frame? He coughs up the ball 3 to 4 times, fumbles, tries to do too much, and Nebraska ended up winning like by 52-21, I think. Something just a ridiculous blowout. Is that Josh Allen going to appear again like he did not just Nebraska versus BYU versus San Diego State, Eastern Michigan, trying to make plays but can't get it done?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely worth looking out for. And I think if I'm a Wyoming fan, or even as an observer, I want Austin Conway to have a big game because now he's the guy that's listed atop the depth chart opposite C.J. Johnson. And I think we both have a pretty good feeling about C.J. Johnson, but, you know, Conway is still kind of a relative mystery who had a few moments last year, but this is going to be a big role for him to be able to step up into the starting lineup and contribute. So, you know, if he can be the guy catching 40-yard bombs from Allen down the field, that would be a huge asset for this team. You know, they don't have a big guy this year like Jake Mulhart in their, you know, in their two deep at least listed. But, you know, if they can get a burner down the field just the same, you know, that could make a huge difference.
All right, so I think we're both leaning that this will not be a 12-point no. Iowa victory. Who are you taking in this game?
I've said all along that I like Wyoming. So I have Wyoming winning a pretty close one. I think it'll probably be a little bit lower scoring than a lot of people expect. I have it right around 28-24.
You do know the last time Craig Bowl was in Iowa City, you know what happened?
He won.
North Dakota State Bison beat the Hawkeyes.
What about you? What do you got?
I'm conflicted because I like the defense to be better, but then looking deeper, they weren't really all that great last year. I just don't trust his offense one bit. I picked Iowa to win this game. It'll be very close. I need to be a believer of Wyoming because their offense lost everybody. Again, Chase Roullier is going to be a starting center for the Redskins. He's gone. Brian Hill is going to have significant time with the Falcons. He's gone. Like I said before, Gentry's in the NFL, going to be an undrafted guy to make the Bears roster. Those are possibly the three most important positions outside of quarterback, center, running back, wide receiver. It'll be close. Josh Allen's got to do it all if he's going to win this game, not because of how great Iowa is, but just because who do they have an offense? I don't know who to trust. And so I'm going 24-21 Iowa to win, but I'm not going to be overly shocked or surprised if Wyoming does get the upset. I just don't think they'll get it done. I've been conflicted about this game all off season.
Well, I guess we'll find out.
And so that's my pick. I picked Wyoming to unfortunately lose. Sorry, guys.